today I want to talk about the topic that Jesus acknowledged predecessors. That sounds like big terms, but I'll try to condense that down a little bit. There were people who helped Jesus be who he was. And Jesus acknowledged that those people had been there, that he honored others that had gone before him. As a first question, how many of you have ever heard of John the Baptist? He's the first one that we're going to look at. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we're told that John the Baptist began preaching out in the Judean wilderness. His constant theme was, "Turn from your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon." Isaiah the prophet had told about John's ministry centuries before. He had written, "I hear a shout from the wilderness, prepare a road for the Lord, straighten out the path where he will walk." So this is what John the Baptist is doing. He was a man who came before Jesus, and his purpose was to prepare people to be ready for when Jesus would come. Now, we'll use an example. How many of you have a birthday? Okay, this is good. Everyone has a birthday. Some of you who aren't raising your hands, I feel bad for you. So, everyone has had a birthday. Now, let's play pretend a little bit. It's your birthday, and a friend or a family member tells you, "Now close your eyes." What do you expect is going to happen? You expect that there's going to be some sort of surprise, right? That there's either going to be a big cake or a gift or something of that sort. Well, it just so happens that today I have a gift here with me. Now, what is it that we have around the gift? We have this nice bow, we have wrapping paper. Why do we do that? Why on someone's birthday do you make them close their eyes to get ready for the surprise, and then when you even give them the gift, you have it wrapped in things? Why? It's because you're wanting to show that there's a certain amount of specialness to it. You want the person to be anticipating and expecting it's going to happen. And this is similar to what God did when he was sending Jesus, because Jesus was God's greatest gift to the world. And so he wasn't just going to give the gift, but he wanted people to realize it was special. So he had made preparations ahead of time so that people would realize it. And that's like what John the Baptist was, where John the Baptist was sort of like telling people, "Okay, close your eyes, get ready. There's going to be this great gift from God that is coming."
Jesus speaks about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. He says this. Jesus began talking about him to the crowds, which is John the Baptist. He says, when you went out to see John in the desert, what did you expect to see? A blade of grass bending in the wind. What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in fancy clothes? People who dress like that live in palaces. We have a little video. Kids, especially, this video is for you to show you a little bit of what John the Baptist looked like. Because Jesus asked, did he dress up really fancy? And I want you to be able to tell me whether this looks like it's really fancy or not. So, John the Baptist video coming right up.
Jesus, God's son, was growing every day. He was getting older and wiser. While he was getting ready, there was another man of God preaching and teaching. His name was John the Baptist. He knew Jesus was God's son. He knew Jesus came to save the world. He wanted to make sure everyone heard this good news. John began telling people to get ready to meet Jesus. John the Baptist stayed in the desert. He wore clothes made from camel's hair and had a leather belt tied around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Have you ever eaten honey? How about locusts? People came from everywhere to hear John preach. They were sorry for their sins. They knew they needed help. John baptized them. John knew and loved God. Some people even thought he was God's son, but he told them he was not. John told people he was coming to help people be ready for Jesus. John did God's work because he loved God. He told everyone, "I can only baptize you with water, but when Jesus comes, Jesus will put the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will help you to know if you are being selfish and when you are pleasing God with your whole heart. Then you will know God's love, and others will know God's love is in you. That is good news."
So, how was he dressed? Did John the Baptist look like he was getting ready to go to a palace? Was he dressed for kings and queens? Did he look like he was dressed to go to a One Direction concert or a Justin Bieber concert? People get ready for these sorts of things. Did he look like he was dressed to go to carnival? People get ready for these sorts of things. But Jesus says, "Tell me, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes." And he's more than just a prophet, for John is the man mentioned in the scriptures, a messenger to precede me, to announce my coming and prepare people to receive me. Truly, of all men ever born, none shines more brightly than John the Baptist. Jesus says really nice stuff about this guy. He says he is a prophet. He was the one who helped prepare the way for me, and he shined brightly. I would love to hear Jesus say that about me. So Jesus, he wasn't arrogant. He realized that other people were important too. He doesn't put them in the same level as him. He says, "I am still Jesus. I am the Son of God, but there were others who were there to prepare the way. There are other people who were important to me." And there are others that Jesus saw as important too. In Matthew 5, he says, "Don't think I came to destroy the law and the prophets, the teaching of Moses." He gives credit to other people and says, "These were important. They helped me be who I was supposed to be. And they helped me do the work I was supposed to do. Their teaching wasn't worthless." He said they did a good job. Other examples, in Luke 9, we have this transfiguration where Jesus' face and his clothes all light up and it's bright white. And he's speaking with Elijah and Moses, two guys who were a long time ahead of him. They must have been important if Jesus took time for them. Jesus in Luke 20 tells a parable of men who had rented a vineyard. And he says that the owner of the land sends some servants to these men to receive the rent from them. And they treat all those men badly. And then the owner sends his son. And again, we see this picture that Jesus is putting himself, he realizes he's the Son of God, but he says, "There are other men who went ahead of me to prepare the way." Now, as a very important side point, just because Jesus acknowledged his predecessors and Jesus saw people were ahead of him, there was no ancestor worship here. And that's something that sometimes we see around the world. But this King David, a man from back in history that Jesus was an ancestor, and everyone said, "King David is this great, great man. He was this great king." But Jesus said, quoting David, where David said that the Lord God said to my Lord, who is Jesus, my master, "Sit at my right hand." And so David even recognized that Jesus, the one to come, was even higher above him. So Jesus didn't worship his ancestors or put those in front of him, but he did honor those who had come before. So there are three things I hope that we get. Number one, God has something special for each one of us. You don't have to end up being the main attraction like Jesus was. God has something special, and we prepare the way for others. Second, he wants us to be humble and thankful for other people that he's put in our lives. That we don't think, "Oh, I can do everything on my own. I'm a man who has made myself and I need no one." That's not how Jesus acted. Jesus was humble and he was thankful for those that God had put in his life. And third, he wants us to invest in other people. Just as God used other people to help you, he wants to use you to help other people. Clear and simple. What God has done to you, he wants to do through you. And John the Baptist said something similar to this. In John chapter 3, he said, God in heaven appoints each man's work. My work is to prepare the way for that man who's Jesus, so that everyone will go to him. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I'm not the Messiah. I'm here to prepare the way for him, and that is all. He saw that he was special and he had a role. But he also said, there's work to be done through me so that they can do their work as well. It becomes a legacy. It becomes a line. So to give a practical example very quickly, Damascus Road, as a church, is sort of like this. We were not the first Christians. We were not the first church ever in Maastricht. He may not be the first one, but back in the 300s, there was a man named Servas, or Servatius. He was the bishop of Tongeren, which is not so far away, but he died in Maastricht. An important thing about this man was that he lived at a time when many people were arguing about whether Jesus was God or whether he was just a man. And Servas was one who fought for the side saying Jesus was God. There was this Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And he made sure that that was spoken here in Maastricht thousands of years ago. We certainly were not the first to bring the truth of God, but we follow in that line. We weren't the only Christians. We also weren't the first, even in our type of church. Damascus Road would be considered in the stream of evangelicals and Pentecostals, but we weren't even the first church like that around here. Back in the 50s, there was a church, as far as I know, the first one of that type in South Limburg, started in Hoensbroek. And then about a decade later, people from Maastricht went there and then came back and started a church here of the same type, named Emmanuel Church today. And God has been at work through other Christians and through their prayers up to this day. Damascus Road was certainly not the first church. We weren't even the first English-speaking congregation in Maastricht. There's another church named All Saints. It's an Anglican church that began in 2006 just from people having prayer meetings and Bible study. And they also have helped to prepare that way. And we see that we are in a line of what God is doing for us. And there are others who have helped to prepare people in the city to receive God's message. And we stand in that line. Not only them, but even in this church, I was not the first pastor ever here. How many of you remember Kent and Leslie Lenaway? They came here in 2010 and said, we want to start a church. And today you see about 4 years later what has happened through that work. They helped to prepare the way, and this church would not be what it is if they hadn't been a part of it. So we as a church and me as a person, I want to acknowledge our predecessors, that them being who they are helps me be who I am. And I hope you see that in your life, that there are people who them being who they are has helped you to be who you are. So the Jesus Life step this week is to text, email, write a note, send a postcard, somehow express to someone who was a predecessor, someone who helped prepare the way for you. Maybe that was a family member. Maybe that was a teacher. Maybe that was a businessman who helped take you under his wing as you were getting started. But show that you appreciate them. Let them know that they have played a role in your life. And you can also speak to them. That's also a good thing. I kind of want you to just do whatever is least natural for you. So if you say it all the time, take the time to write it down. And if you write stuff, but you never let the words out, speak it out. Let someone know that you appreciate them. And our power verse for this week, Hebrews 13, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. They were the people who came ahead of us. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Because one of the best ways to acknowledge someone, one of the best ways to appreciate someone is to live out their good example. So I hope that you'll do that. But we remember, first of all, Jesus is our example. He deserves the honor and the glory first. And we, the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved. We will teach what Jesus taught, and we will obey as Jesus obeyed. He was our example first, but there are others who have been good examples for us. And may you be the type of people that also appreciate those and show them how important they were. Because if Jesus was humble and he did it, so should we.